Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to His Word being preached.
All right, so this is the second part of a three-part series, which entitled Adulting All Over the Place. You all should know that slang. That's not slang that comes out of my generation. And it's actually kind of intended to be with a question mark at the end, like how is it going in terms of growing up? How is it going with maturing? And in this specific context, it's aimed at how is it going with your own spiritual growth? Are you maturing in your walk with God, or is it a matter of just surviving? You're just trying to keep alive with it, like your relationship alive with God. It's almost just a matter of, I'm committing my life now to God, in 2 weeks' time, I'm kind of back where I was. And there's not really significant growth when you look back in your relationship with God. And the idea is, and Scripture even talks about it, is like Paul writes to one of the churches saying, like, I desire to give you more stuff, but you are, in your thinking, you are still babes, and therefore you need to, I can't give you the meaty stuff. I'm paraphrasing heavily now, but he's just saying that you are still mere infants, yet by now you should have been, like, you should have been preaching and ministering at this stage. So there is definitely a place of where we kind of need to take ownership of our own spiritual growth and our own, whether we will mature, whether we will grow up in the Spirit and our walk with God. Okay, so I'm going to recap quickly what I spoke about last week, and last week's specific one is entitled Learning to Count. Now, you all are at university, so I'm assuming you do know the basics. My daughter is in grade R now. She's 5 turning 6, and the teacher are doing like kind of assessments with the children, and she calls Elaine, and she wants to, by now they should be able to count till 20, and she asked her, until where can you count? And Elaine says, until 10,000. And obviously the teacher is like, okay, yeah, sure. And she's like, okay, go for it. And then she starts. And by the time she reached 100, the teacher said, okay, now you can stop. She obviously realized it's going to take some time to get to 10,000. But what she doesn't know is by the time she reaches 100, she skips it in hundreds. Then it's 100, 200, 300, until 1,000. And at 1,000, she goes 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, until 10,000. So she doesn't count them all, but she realized that this is going to take some time. And she said, no, it's fine, you can stop. I was so proud. I was like, ah, come on. Anyway, so last week's one was about learning to count. And I'll bring in the context. It's the whole series is based on this specific scripture out of Ephesians 4 from verse 11 to 16. You know, just read the whole scripture, and then I'll just touch quickly on what I said last week, and then get into today's details. Yeah, it says there, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, which we commonly known as the fivefold ministry, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If you missed last week, you can go download it from our website. The whole message is just about 20 minutes long. If you've got a podcast app on your phone, just make sure it can sync with the iTunes library, and you can you you can get it from there as well. Very, very handy. For all of the details, go and listen to that. But basically what we're saying is that often when we talk about maturity, we think, if I say, would you go and minister to that person? Let's say there's somebody that's ill in hospital. What is typically the first thing that people do when there's somebody that is ill in the hospital? Who do they phone apart from the doctor? The pastor. Pastor, will you go and pray for my mom who's in hospital? And there's nothing wrong with that per se, but what it does communicate is that I'm not qualified to actually go and pray for my mother in hospital, but the pastor is the one. And this is typically where where last week is kind of aimed at, is we think that, let me explain. Okay, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, or pastors and teachers, are given for us as congregation members or as Christians to mature us. And once we are mature enough, then we will be able to minister. Do you identify with that general thinking? Whether it's yourself, that you can just nod if you know somebody like that, okay? Then you don't have to pretend like it was you that that think like that. Okay, we all think or thought like this in one way, a lesser or greater degree. Go. And it says there, until we attain, that's verse 13, that is if we count wrong, okay? Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature man. So we think those people at the top are there so that we would reach unity and maturity to equip the saints to the work of the ministry for building up of the body of Christ. So we think, okay, it's going to qualify, the fivefold ministry is going to equip us so that we can minister. They're not going to equip us, they're going to mature us so that we can minister. And basically what I'm saying is that we've got it the wrong way around, is that it is actually by ministering to others that we mature. Okay, read with that in mind, read this with me. Okay, the fivefold ministry, verse 11, is given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, so they do have a role to play to equip. Okay, same with like our share seminar next Saturday is intended to equip believers in order to share their faith. Okay, so there is an equipping. To equip the saints. Who are the saints? The saints are both the fivefold ministers, but as well every other Christian is the saints. For building up of the body, for work of ministry, okay? And then until we reach unity in the faith and until mature manhood, until maturity. Yeah. So, how will you learn to pray for somebody that is sick? By actually praying for somebody that's sick. It does help to see somebody else pray for the sick, okay? So there is an equipping part that is important, because how would you know how to pray for somebody's leg to grow back miraculously if you've never actually seen somebody else do that? And one of our guys that was with us in the congregation, they went to a weekend mission trip to Stanerton. We've got a congregation there as well. And they ministered to people, and they prayed. The one's leg was shorter than the other. He prayed for them, and the leg kind of grew back. So that's an example. How would you know how to do that stuff? Okay, apart from actually the Holy Spirit saying, "Well, do this," and you've never seen it. You can't disqualify yourself because you've never seen it. But at the same time, there's an element of getting exposure, getting seeing how it's done. It's the same as my one daughter is 5 and a half, my other one is 2 years old. I'm not going to expect from them to make tea yet. But I am going to expect that at some stage, after I've shown them how to be careful, that kind of a thing. So that's the same with us when we walk in relationship with God and how we minister to one another and how we minister to other people as well. Okay, so that is kind of the basis, that's the gist of last week's conversation, is that often we think that we need to reach this level of maturity before I can actually minister to other people. But the scripture clearly says that if you want to mature, you need to start ministering to other people. Now, that word ministry, if you break it down, it actually means works of service. Now, whether it is serving somebody by bringing them tea, or whether it is serving somebody by praying for them, or ministering the word, or leading worship, or you can serve in thousands of different ways, inside and outside of the body of Christ. You serve it, you do it naturally. So what I just want to say is start doing that with intent as well of learning. Okay, but how does this work? How do I talk to somebody in this context? All right. Okay. So that was last week's one. And then today we are talking about maturity, ministry, and myths. Okay, so it's on the same basis of what I spoke about last week, but I just want to kind of address specifically certain myths that we typically hold on to or that we typically have that kind of hinders us from actually embracing to minister. There are others as well, but I'm just going to look at specifically three very common ones that is typically prevalent in church these days and prevalent in our church as well. Okay, so we're not exempt from that. Okay, there's a quote there. I'd like to exercise, but I'm not fit enough yet. Okay, anybody use that excuse for not exercising? Hey, Devolt, do you use that? Okay, this addresses the qualification myth. Okay, I would like to minister, but I am not qualified yet. I haven't done X, Y, and Z yet. I'm not qualified enough. Typically, interestingly enough, if you know, some of you know my story by now, I didn't study theology. I studied accounting. I'm a chartered accountant, or I'm a pastor now. Typically, people out of traditional mindsets would ask me, like, where did you study your theology? I'm like, studied it in my 3 years of doing articles at BDO. But there's merit that I need to kind of know what I'm talking about. But at the same time, people still, they look for the qualification that would qualify you to minister from the pulpit. I'm not saying all of us need to minister from the pulpit, but at the same time, we don't need a specific qualification in order to minister. The only qualification that you need is to have a relationship, an authentic, living relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay, then developmental steps. What we try to do, and we don't always get this right. I just kind of say this off the cuff. What we try to do is we want to teach believers how to crawl, then walk, and then run in every area of their growth and their relationship with God. So from next week, and it's going to go into your exams and it's going to go into your holidays, I'm going to set you up with a Bible reading plan for your exams and your holidays that is going to force you to start becoming self-feeders, to get into Scripture and to know how to read the Bible. Because often we say, in order to grow, you need to read your Bible and pray daily. But we never teach people how to pray. And we'd never teach people how to read the Bible. The first comment is a valid one. Yes, read your Bible, pray daily. But it's like I tell my 2-year-old daughter, in order to grow, you need to eat and sleep. But I don't give her a bed and I don't make food for her. Or I don't show her how to make food, unless she won't be able to make food, make a mess. But you get it. So the core thing about next week, please come next week. The aim is to set you up with a little bit of skills of how to read the Bible, and then just into your own quiet times, into the exams. The exams are going to be long, and then it's going to be your holiday. And it's going to be like two months, and we want you to be able to actually still serve Jesus by the time you come back to campus. Amen? Okay. All right, so developmental steps. And what we often do, and I've done this, I'm guilty of this as well still today, is often we tell people, do this, and then we send them to go and do this. Like I'm telling my 2-year-old daughter, go and make tea, go. But I've never shown her. Okay, so I say it, and we typically do this from the pulpit. So in order to fix your life, you need to do this, go and do it. But we never, how it's supposed to go is like, I need to say to you, and then I need to show you how it's done. Then I need to support you while you do it, and then I need to send you, commission you. And that's the way that Jesus did it. Okay, he called disciples to him. He told them a lot of stuff. I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And these days, you need to limit the sermon to one point, otherwise you lose your audience. Jesus had a lot of points in his Sermon on the Mount. He had whole 3 chapters of Scripture, which is, anyway, besides the point. But Jesus did this. He told his disciples certain stuff. Then he showed them how it's done. And then he sent them, or he supported them. He sent them, they came back, and then there was this conversation about feedback. He says, okay, that's great that the demons are listening to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there's this constant support. And then he sends them, just before he ascends into heaven, he sends them, he commissions them to go and take it further. Okay, so the qualification myth, is the thing is, we often, when somebody gets something wrong, sometimes we in church tend to jump on somebody and say, why did you do it like that? Why did you say that? Obviously, that's not right. And that's like punishing somebody for trying. And that's how Christians burn their fingers. It's like they don't want to risk again. Because I've kind of ventured out to try, but now I'm kind of getting punished for the fact that I'm just actually trying. And we need to actually celebrate the fact that they are actually trying. Okay, so what we try to hold as a value in our congregation is that we value people participating in the process more than their performance. The fact that they're trying and they're participating, we value that more than the fact that they need to get everything right. Okay, so we are trying to make this shift where it is just the mature people that kind of allow to minister. And small group is one of those places where it's very practical, but in general, we're trying to do that. Okay, source. Myth number two is the outsource myth. Okay, I wish I could outsource my exercise. Have you ever wished that? Okay. Who of you don't like exercising? Outsource. Okay. That is not like tomato sauce, okay? Okay, what outsourcing is, I think there were strikes a year or two ago here at UJ about the fact that cleaning services were outsourced to an external company. Okay, so UJ outsourced a certain service to an outside service provider, and the whole debate or the whole issue was that they wanted UJ to employ people here so that they are accountable to UJ and all sorts of things. Okay, so that's what outsourcing basically is. We outsource a lot of our stuff in our daily lives. Okay, now here the outsource myth is, in this context, is typically the one that I say, that when somebody is sick, who do you phone? Phone your pastor. And your pastor kind of burns out because all he's doing is just running after every need of the congregation. And the idea is that every member in the congregation should be a minister. And to a certain extent, we actually do get that right. But the thing is, you can't outsource the things that you need for personal growth. You can't outsource your exercise. You can't outsource ministering to somebody else. You can't outsource it for somebody out like the pastor, because it is ministry that is going to make you grow. It is ministering age appropriate that is going to help you to grow. You're following me? Okay, so in church, we tend to outsource ministry to the fivefold ministry. We say the evangelist is being paid by the church to do evangelism. Wrong. Okay? The evangelist is supposed to equip the saints to evangelize. Amen? Okay. Are you starting to get excited about this? Not yet. All right. The prophet is not meant to do all the prophesying. He's meant to equip the saints to prophesy. Amen. The pastor is supposed to equip the saints to do the pastoring. Is it sinking in yet? The teacher is supposed to equip the saints to do the teaching. I don't know what the apostle does. He equips the saints to do the apostling. All right. Okay, so that's the outsource myth. Okay, you can't outsource that which you need for personal growth. Yeah. Okay. What is the first one that I mentioned? First myth? The qualification myth. Second one, outsource myth. Third one, the feel-good myth. I exercised once but found out I was allergic to it. My skin flushed and my heart raced. I got sweaty and short of breath. It's very dangerous. I did a push-up today. Well, actually, I fell down. But I had to use my arms to get back up, so close enough. Now I need a chocolate. Okay. The thing is, we tend to have this thinking that if something doesn't feel good, surely it can't be good for me. Anybody relate with that? And obviously, the analogy pulls through from exercising, that exercising is good for us, although it doesn't feel good at the time. But the same with ministry. It's uncomfortable to do it. And the thing is, if we want to grow, we need to get beyond our comfort zone. And to get out of our comfort zones is uncomfortable. You get that, okay? Comfort zone, uncomfortable, okay? You are outside of your comfort zone, and therefore it's uncomfortable, all right? And sometimes we don't like that. Unless you're an extreme extrovert and you love being outside of your comfort zone. But then being outside of your comfort zone is your comfort zone, and therefore your comfort zone is something else. Okay, did I lose you there? All right. Philippians 2 verse 17 says, yes. And if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. This is Paul writing. And the thing is, ministry is service. And service is often sacrificial. Jesus, what did he do? He came to serve and he sacrificed himself. I bet you he didn't do that because it felt good. Right? It didn't give him a warm and fuzzy feeling. And him getting a beating on his back wasn't like a massage at the parlor. It tore him apart. And yet often we don't want to do something because it doesn't feel like. I don't want to go to that person and pray or ask, hey, are you doing okay? Can I pray for anything? Whether it's somebody that you like or dislike. Same with forgiving somebody. Forgiving someone is not meant to feel good. Jesus bore the whole sin of the world on him so that he can actually enable us to forgive other people. And so often we cling to that unforgiveness. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Maybe this relates to somebody here. Is that if you're struggling to forgive somebody, whether it's an aunt or a parent or a friend or a sibling, you need to forgive. Okay? The scary thing about unforgiveness is what it does, it withholds God's grace from you. If you go read the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, and it ends off with, forgive us our trespasses like we forgive those who trespass against us. And then he makes a qualification at the bottom of the prayer. He say, if you do not forgive other people who trespass against us, I can also not forgive you. He says, how can you, for the people that you do see, if you can't forgive them, how much... Okay, so it's important that you do forgive. And you struggle with unforgiveness, ask God's grace to help you, to enable you to forgive. And forgiveness doesn't start with a feeling. It starts with a decision. The feeling will only come later. Okay, you decide, I am going to forgive. Say, Simpiwe, I forgive you for what you've done. You don't have to say it to their face even. Just proclaim it in your own room. Say, I forgive you for X, Y, and Z. I forgive you for having done this. I forgive you, parent, for abusing me in this way or whatever. But you need to make a decision, even though you don't feel like that at the time. Okay. So that is the gist of today, is that there is three main myths that typically withhold us from it. Go in reverse order. Feel-good myth, outsource myth, and qualification myth. And my question here to you in conclusion is, what of these three myths? Doesn't have to be one, it can be all of them. And if it's not applicable to you, then awesome. What of these three myths are preventing you from maturing in your faith? Because the goal is to mature, is to grow up in your faith. And what steps can you take to balance your giving and receiving of ministry? That is a question to us that are in ministry. Often we give, and we don't often sit still and actually receive as well. Okay, and where are you going to minister this year? Okay, your exams are around the corner. That doesn't mean that you don't have to minister. Okay, you have classmates and friends who are freaking out even more than you about the exams coming up. I want to encourage you, pray with them, engage with their hearts. You say, are you okay? Can I pray for you? I'm with you in this. Let's pray. You can still minister in that context. All right. Hello, Margaret. all right. So, but also what I want you to take home is when you come back next term, I want to encourage you to also find a place of where you can minister to other Christians. Often it's very intimidating to reach out, to minister to non-believers. I want to encourage you to minister also within a community of believers as well. To pray for, come together, come and ask us, how can I get involved or where can I minister? I know Tabang has come to talk to me and said, oh, hey, I want to get involved. Where can I serve? What can I do? And that's what I'm talking about. Come chat to us. How can we get involved? And specifically for day students, we want this place also to be more interactive from time to time as well. That even if we don't have a lunch hour church like this, then there is still kind of a small group going on for you where you can actually say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I want to pray for this, or God is doing this and this and this in my life, or whatever. So it's a place of actually just sharing and encouraging one another as well. Okay, so once again, you can go and download this again, and just revisit it. But the idea is that if you really are serious about your own growth, if you want to mature, then find a place of where you can minister. And within the body of Christ is a safe place to start to minister. It's the same with a child. To learn stuff, it's a good place to learn is within the context of family. Okay? And if you don't have a spiritual family here in Johannesburg or at UJ, then I want to encourage you to find that spiritual family. And if it's with us, awesome. Ask me. Let's go drink coffee. I just want to just talk. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me or whatever. For some of you, it's sometimes awkward to have coffee with a pastor. It's fine. I know that. We have coffee with Shauna then, or with Devil. But we want to get to know you. Otherwise, church is going to be one-way communication, and you really don't need to be part of everything. Okay, I'm going to pray for us, and then like similar to last week, if there's anything that you want us to pray for you for, then just come to one of us afterwards, and we'd love to pray for you. I am going to pray just like a blanket prayer for your exams coming up and your preparation in that time, just for the peace of God. And I know it might be a stretch even to come next week still to lunch our church, but like I said, it's really intended to set you up with a reading plan, and we're going to do this together. And we'll send you some communications, and want to kind of keep encouraging you to read scripture all throughout the exams and holidays and that kind of thing. Amen. Cool. So Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, the word that you've spoken here today, God, I pray that stuff that I've spoken, that which is not from you, God, I pray that you just remove that. And that which is from you, God, I pray that you would just let it find good soil. Come and water it and let it grow, God, into a harvest of 60, 100-fold, God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, the exams are around the corner, and it's intimidating. It's a lot of anxiety kind of springs up, and like, oh, and I just pray, God, that you, through your Holy Spirit, enable each one sitting here to be able to study well, to be self-disciplined, to sit down and study and concentrate to be able to take in that information. And also I pray for your anointing for them to be able to also know where to take and where to leave, in Jesus' name. Things that are distracting them even as well, that are not of you, I pray that you would help even just clear those distractions off their plates, Lord, in Jesus' name. And for the person or people here, God, that are struggling with unforgiveness, I pray, God, that you would enable them to make that choice. Help them to see Jesus on the cross and what you went through, and then bring that picture back to their own reality of the difficulty of which they are facing, what has happened in their life where they are struggling to forgive. I pray, God, that you would enable them with that picture to forgive who they need to forgive, so that they can walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Johannesburg. May the grace you received produce God's greatest glory your greatest good. For more information and sermons, please visit our website at www.shofar.joburg.